And welcome back to the Eye on College Football podcast here on CBSSports.com. You have tuned in to the Week 9 Expert Picks podcast. Jerry Hinn and Tom Fornelli, as always, joining me. Fellas, it's crazy. This is Week 9.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Like, this season's going to be over really, really quickly.
Don't stop. Don't talk about that.
We've got some midweek games starting to pick up. Obviously, we'll start to spread out the college football love. And one thing that I'm excited about, gentlemen, is after 2 weeks, you know, Week 7 and Week 8, in total, 16 top 25 teams lost, some of them twice, being Georgia. And now we sort of get a little bit of a calm down week, which for the Expert Picks podcast means we get to take a little bit more time and let this discussion breathe. We're not sitting here trying to knock out 14 games in 30 minutes. So I'm looking forward to this. Are you guys ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do 100 games in 5 minutes.
Okay. Tom Fornelli, games 1 through 50, go. All right, we're starting at big SEC East matchup. Number 20, South Carolina, after that loss to Tennessee, they are going to Columbia, where Missouri has just been holding court and taking down the big dogs of the SEC East one by one. If the Tigers, with backup quarterback Matty Mauk leading them, kind of, but great defense, they're getting it done, moving the ball down the field. They were not great in the red zone, but certainly their performance against a stout Florida defense, very impressive. The line has swayed on this one. Connor Shaw is practicing. We're not exactly sure what the health is going to be. I know Dylan Thompson is starting. We picked this at Missouri minus 2.5. I'm just going to, Jerry, go ahead and take the reins on this one. First of all, what's your feel on the game as far as who we're going to be seeing health-wise?
Well, I think Dylan Thompson's going to play just about the entire game. I think Spurrier is trying to be optimistic on Connor Shaw's health, but, you know, the injury we saw at the end of last week's game did not look like the sort of injury that you shake off in the span of a week. Shaw doesn't necessarily need to get a lot of practice in. He's a senior. He knows the system, all that kind of stuff. But I just don't think he's going to be physically ready to play. I think Spurrier wants to sort of maybe keep him available as an emergency option. But, you know, Dylan Thompson has shown himself perfectly capable of running that offense, threw for 300 yards in the win over Clemson last year, kind of came in and saved the day against Michigan in the bowl game. They're not going to miss a big beat with Dylan Thompson being in there. The bigger problem is that South Carolina, just the offense has not clicked no matter who's under center. Despite the presence of Mike Davis, obviously I think he's been incredible, maybe the best tailback in the SEC at this stage, but they still, you know, only put up 3 touchdowns basically against Tennessee last week. And this Missouri defense is much stouter than that Tennessee defense is. Coney Ealy and Michael Sam on defensive ends are really going to get after the quarterback. I don't think they're going to be able to score enough points on the road in Columbia to keep up with a Missouri offense that, you know, maybe didn't look as sharp with Matty Mauk under center for portions of that game. But again, that Florida defense is a lot tougher, I think, than the South Carolina defense is top to bottom. I've picked against Missouri the last couple of weeks. I'm changing my tune. I am sold. I'm going with the Tigers.
The defensive backs banged up. The defensive line banged up for South Carolina. And Missouri not only 7-0 overall, but 7-0 against the spread. While the Gamecocks are at 2-5. You just heard Jerry's pick. I'm with the Tigers. Tom's with the Tigers. And Dennis is with us. Bruce and Jeremy, the only ones taking the Gamecocks. Tom, anything else that sort of swayed your opinion on this one?
No, not really. You mentioned the injuries that South Carolina is dealing with on defense. That's a major concern for me. That's another reason why I'm leaning towards Missouri. And also, you mentioned they're 7-0 against the spread this year, along with Houston. They're now the only two teams left that can say that. Meanwhile, South Carolina is 2-5. So you look at those kind of trends, and it just makes you lean towards Missouri a bit harder. The only thing I wish is this line opened up with South Carolina as like a 3-point favorite. I wish we were picking that line still.
Yeah, that would be That would be ideal. All right, moving on to Tennessee, traveling to number one, Alabama. Tennessee, lots of warm, fuzzy feelings after that aforementioned upset. Alabama is just, they've covered three straight SEC games handily, covering each time by 10-plus points. Tennessee's covered three straight SEC games. You know, this is in Tuscaloosa, and I think that we can say that Tennessee and Neyland is now something that you have to respect and take into consideration. They're going to go on the road. They're going into Bryant-Denny. The three of us all have Alabama covering, but all the senior writers have Tennessee. Tom, what do you like about Alabama in this matchup?
To me right now, it's the Alabama defense that has been playing, you know, phenomenal the last five games or so. It's only allowed the 16 points since that game against Texas A&M. And yes, Tennessee has certainly played better the last few weeks against both Georgia and South Carolina. But like you said, that was at home. This is going on the road to face an Alabama team that is much better than both a Georgia team just devastated by injuries and South Carolina. So I think Tennessee is certainly on that right track to getting back to where it wants to be as an SEC power and contender. I think Butch Jones is doing great things there, but this team is not there yet. Not when it comes to facing Alabama. Although I generally don't like taking the Tide at home with spreads this large. I feel like the Tennessee offense, Justin Worley, is going to have trouble moving the ball quite a bit against this defense. And I'm not sure that the Tennessee defense can truly step up or stand up to Alabama's offense.
Jerry, anything else to add?
Yeah, Nick Saban has enjoyed a lot of success against Tennessee since he's arrived on board at Alabama. He's 5-1 against the spread against the Vols, and that one loss was the memorable Rocky Block game against Lane Kiffin. So it's one of those weird things. Like, Lane Kiffin has had really the only measure of success against Alabama in recent years. The Vols haven't won this game since 2006. They've lost it three straight years by exactly 31 points. Like with Tom, it makes me a little bit nervous to take Alabama at home. They're generally better on the road against the spread in SEC play under Nick Saban. But that trend, you know, that this game clearly means something to Saban and to the players, and the fact that, as Tom points out, I think the Vols are a little bit due for a step back after playing so well at home the last couple of weeks. I'm definitely riding with the Tide this week.
Ohio State still at number four in the polls, getting jumped by Florida State, is a 14.5-point favorite at home against Penn State. Penn State has been off since that 43-40 game against Michigan. They are 3-1 as a road dog in 2012, but they're going up against a Buckeyes. They got a freshman quarterback going up against a Buckeyes team that really is still looking for, you know, that big dominant win. As I glance at our expert picks, it looks like
hello.
Looks like Tom Fornelli is the only one taking the Buckeyes. So Tom, you get to kick us off here.
I'm all alone on my Buckeye Island. It's just I know Penn State's coming off the bye, and I don't think this is going to be a dominant victory for Ohio State. I don't know that Ohio State's capable of dominating anybody, but I'm taking the Buckeyes to cover the 14.5 points just because, in my opinion, Penn State really isn't that great of a team. This is a team that lost at home to UCF, which, you know, it proved it's pretty good by beating Louisville last week, but still. And then last time it played, you know, it needed a ridiculous comeback in the fourth quarter at home against a Michigan team that hasn't exactly been stellar. And Michigan helped out quite a bit with some curious coaching decisions in that game and in the overtimes. And then I see this Ohio State team, and yeah, it tends to play down to its opponents a bit for the first three quarters before it finally gets its act together and finishes in the fourth. And to me, this is a game to me where I feel like Ohio State's going to have a 10-point lead after three quarters, and then it's just going to score a touchdown or two in the fourth to put it away. I think Christian Hackenberg, as a freshman, he's this is like their seventh game now, and it's his seventh game as a starter, but he hasn't played in Ohio Stadium yet. And this could be a tough environment for him to play in. So I'm expecting him to make a mistake that kind of just puts this one to bed.
Yeah, but by the way, when I said 3-1 as a road dog, I did mean 3-1 against the spread. But, Jerry, I've got no faith in my Penn State pick. It's really has more to do with just assuming that they'll be able to keep it close within two touchdowns because Ohio State hasn't done that. What do you have for me?
Yeah, this is not a pick I have any kind of confidence in. I'm on Penn State, but Ohio, that's more just a lack of faith in Ohio State at this point. You know, they've really struggled to put teams away. That Iowa team last week, I don't think is as good as this Penn State team, and kept that a game for, you know, into the fourth quarter, basically. The Buckeyes, just whether it's last year, this year, despite all the wins that they've racked up, have just not really blown out inferior teams, whether it's at home, on the road. You know, we think back to last year, and this feels like maybe the Purdue game that went into overtime, the Indiana game where they gave up all those points. At the same time, I'm with Tom. I'm not completely sold on Penn State really being the sort of team that can keep this within two touchdowns. But at this point, I don't feel comfortable taking the Buckeyes to cover a spread, you know, two scores and above. Just haven't seen it yet. It may happen this week, but we've seen it not happen so many times, it feels like, at this point. I'm going to stick with the Nittany Lions.
Number 25, Nebraska. Quietly just sort of hanging around there in the Big Ten Legends division. This is a really big game if the Cornhuskers are going to be able to compete for a division title, potentially a Big Ten title. They travel to play a Minnesota team that had a gritty 20-17 road win at Northwestern. It was Northwestern really quit in that game, but props to Minnesota for going on the road and getting that win. 10.5 Golden Gophers are the dog at home. Nebraska is coming off three straight wins and a week off, 3-0 against the spread in those games since that loss to UCLA. However, the opponents were San Diego State, Illinois, and Purdue. Nebraska 0-3 is a road favorite in 2012. Both of you gentlemen like Nebraska. I clearly don't. So I'm going to start with you, Jerry.
Wait. Nebraska beat Purdue by a ton of points on the road and covered that game.
I said 0-3 is a road favorite in 2012.
Yeah. Oh, in 2012. Sorry, I was thinking 2013.
No. I gave them credit for three straight wins, 3-0 against the spread, San Diego State, Illinois, Purdue, since UCLA loss.
Gotcha. Well, anyways, I love the Huskers here. I think their offense has been a little bit underrated thanks to the Taylor Martinez injury. I think people think that they're going to kind of backslide a little bit, but Tommy Armstrong has looked very good in relief, done many of the same sorts of things Taylor Martinez is capable of. I think the defense has finally settled down just a little bit after that really rocky start. And more to the point, you know, Minnesota went on the road to Michigan a couple of weeks ago and got completely blown out. Basically the only team that's happened to against Michigan since Central Michigan in the opener. That Northwestern game was just really weird. The Wildcats seemed kind of just out of it. And I think, you know, this is definitely sort of a bounce back sort of situation for maybe both these teams, where I think Nebraska's a little undervalued after that UCLA embarrassment earlier in the season. I think Minnesota's a little overvalued after that Northwestern victory. I really, really like the Huskers to cover this one.
Tom, do you like it that much?
Yeah, they won that game last week, but it was just they lost less than Northwestern did over 60 minutes. They didn't play as bad. That's really all that win was last week to me. And Nebraska, like Jerry mentioned, the defense has figured itself out. It's amazing how playing Big Ten offenses will do that for a defense. But Taylor Martinez, there hasn't been an official word, but I believe he's expected to be back this week. So even though, you know, he's probably going to be rusty, the Huskers had a bye week coming into this. And I just on another – they're just a much better team than the Gophers. And as Jerry mentioned, Minnesota did not look good on the road against Michigan. This is a game to me that I feel like is going to be over at halftime.
All right. We'll see. All right, number 10, Texas Tech traveling to play number 12, Oklahoma. The Sooners are 7.5-point favorite at home. The Sooners had a just odd game against Kansas. It was a weird one. It's kind of lame. I don't know, man.
It wasn't weird. Blake Bell is playing terribly. Like, that's the bottom line. He's last 3 yards per attempt marks are, I think, 4.9 against Texas, like 5.1 against Kansas, and you know, I forget the other one, but it was also under like 5.2. Like, he's just playing. TCU is the other team. And that was three games ago, and I think that was the 4.9, and then 5.1 for Texas and 5.2 for Kansas. No matter how you slice it, Blake Bell is not playing well at quarterback right now.
Oklahoma 0-4 against the spread in Big 12 play this year. Texas Tech 3-1 against the spread in Big 12 play this year. All three of us are on Texas Tech. Tom, what do you like about the Red Raiders to cover this number?
I don't know that it's what I like about Texas Tech so much. I have no idea what in the hell is going to happen in this game, because as Oklahoma, like, we've gone over the Blake Bell fund, this is just a team that from week to week, you really don't have any idea what's going to show up. And then Texas Tech for me is off to a really good start this year, but hasn't exactly played, you know, the greatest schedule in the world at this point yet. But what's going for me more than anything really is just that Texas Tech is 5-2 against the spread so far. So when it came to having to make a pick in this game, I went with the team that's doing the best against the spread. That's really all there is to it for me.
I'm the only one to take Texas Tech straight up. And this is my my upset pick. Do you think I'm crazy, or do y'all have a little bit more faith? Is that
no.
on the Oklahoma
no,
defense?
No, not at all. I think that's totally legitimate. And when I saw that you had picked them, Chip, I thought to myself, I think I probably should have picked them too. Like, that's how poor Oklahoma has looked the last couple of weeks. And yes, I'm a little bit bitter about having picked them to cover the spread each of these past 3 weeks. Like I said, only to see Blake Bell sort of fall off a cliff for inexplicable reasons.
The only thing crazy, I think, is just trying to rely on either of these teams in this game.
Yes.
Because for me, this game's just weird.
Texas Tech is not as good as their ranking. They're not as good as I think the spread would make them against a lot of teams. But Oklahoma is not one of those teams. I think Oklahoma is also pretty overrated at this point.
Yes.
I mean, they were blown out by Texas 2 weeks ago and then came back and only beat Kansas by 15. I mean, that to me is sort of this matchup in a nutshell. Texas Tech went on the road to Kansas, fell behind early, and won 54-16. Oklahoma went to Kansas, fell behind early, and only won 34-19. I think the Red Raiders are the better team. I took the Sooners straight up because the game is in Norman, but I don't have really any faith in either one of these teams to do exactly what I think is expected of them. It's, for me, it would be a big, big time stay away.
Odd game here. And you know, maybe you guys feel a lot better about this, but number 8 Stanford going to Corvallis to play Oregon State. The Beavers are 5.5-point dogs at home. Both you guys like the Cardinal here, and I took Stanford straight up as well. I took Oregon State against the spread. I just don't feel like Stanford's going to necessarily be, you know, the way they were in the first half last game against UCLA. I mean, that was 3-0 at halftime. I just think that, I don't know. It was a weird game. I want to get y'all's opinion on it, starting with you, Tom.
Oregon State's played great since that opening loss to Eastern Washington, but at the same time, you can't overlook the schedule that it's played in that stretch either. It hasn't exactly been, you know, a murderer's row of opponents. I think their schedule, according to Sagarin, ranks in the low 70s on the season. And you're right, that game last week between Stanford and UCLA was pretty bleh in the first half as it was 3-0, but it was that way because Stanford's defense was absolutely phenomenal in that game. They essentially, with Jordan James out for the Bruins, they essentially just, you know, focused on Brett Hundley and literally just took him out of the game as much as you possibly can. And that pretty much put a stall to the Bruins offense. And I think that Stanford defense can do a very similar thing with Sean Mannion and Brandon Cooks this week, if not just by using its rushing offense to keep that Oregon State offense off the field. Because the Oregon State run defense, it's mediocre statistically, but again, it hasn't faced an offense quite like Stanford's at this point. I'm not sure it could hold up over 60 minutes against, you know, Ty Gaffney and that giant offensive line that the Cardinal have. So I think this is going to be a game where the Cardinal wear Oregon State down.
That's my fear, is that ball control keeps Mannion and Cooks from ever getting in sort of sync. What's your thought on this game, Jerry?
My thought is that this is another one. I'm with you, Chip. This is, for me, a tough game to call. I think Stanford in general is a little bit overrated. You know, they've played very well at home against UCLA and Arizona State, but then really should have lost to Washington, lost at Utah, you know, didn't really blow out teams like Army the way you would expect them to. So in general, you know, I feel like I would like to take The points against Stanford is the favorite, especially with Cardinal on the road. But, you know, I'm not really completely sold on this Oregon State team either, and maybe I should be because, you know, they blew out Cal and they blew out Washington State, and they won at Utah on the road, which is really their big victory. But I also feel like this Stanford team is really well-equipped to deal with this high-flying, just, you know, all air it out all the time kind of offense that Oregon State's been running. And, you know, I'm just a little bit uncomfortable with the matchup here. Like, again, I would really sort of like to take the Beavers here, but I just feel like maybe 5.5 points isn't enough. If this spread was, like, at a touchdown, if it was a little bit over a touchdown, 7.5, I think I would definitely be taking Oregon State. But with it under 6 points, in this case, I think the Cardinal are going to pull out the win in the end, and the spread's just small enough that I think you have to take Stanford.
When, obviously, with Florida State getting the number 2 spot in the BCS, the hot sports radio topic of the week, if you want to kill a good segment or two, is how do you order Alabama, Florida State, and Oregon, and who's done what? And I think if you look at this next spread, Oregon at home with UCLA, a UCLA team that is very, very good. And yes, they are a little bit banged up, and yes, they did just really get beat up by Stanford. But to have the Ducks favored by 21.5, to me, says a ton. And you know what? All three of us are even taking Oregon with that number. Tom, I'll let you go first, but this to me, sort of the number in general and how comfortable I am picking them shows it really how special this Oregon team could be.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of it. You know, you mentioned the UCLA offense is banged up, and I can't remember the exact stat, but Bruce Feldman tweeted it earlier. There are 4 true freshmen, 3 redshirt freshmen, and a couple sophomores starting on the offense for the Bruins this week, and a lot of that is on their offensive line where they have lost a lot of guys to injury in the last few weeks. So I'm not sure with what we saw with UCLA's offense against Stanford last week. I know we talk about Oregon's offense all the time, but the Ducks have a pretty damn good defense too, and I think they'll be able to slow down Brett Hundley because I think they'll be able to just key on him because I'm really not sure what else the Bruins have, and I don't know if they'll be able to protect Brett Hundley, which is going to lead to him scrambling a lot. And while that works sometimes, I don't think you can get an entire game out of it if you want to keep up with the Ducks. And this is just an offense that has proven so far that there's really, you know, nobody it has trouble facing. UCLA's defense it's got Anthony Barr, it's got a couple good key players, but at the same time, it's been beaten up by, you know, offenses such as Oregon's recently in the last few years. So I think Oregon's going to cover just because I don't think right now UCLA with the injuries, and plus the fact, you know, Stanford and Oregon on the road in back-to-back weeks, that takes its toll. That's not an easy thing to do. So I think that UCLA might hang for a half, and we might think we have something going, but I just get the feeling that the Ducks are going to pull away in the second half.
Yeah, Brett Hundley ain't throwing 89 pass attempts in this game. Jerry, what's your what's your call on this game? I mean, you picked Oregon, obviously, but what? Anything else to add to it?
Yeah, well, if the Ducks can beat Washington by 21 points in Seattle, I'm pretty doggone sure they can beat UCLA by 21 points in Autzen. You know, I don't see any reason the Bruins, you know, who played fairly well on defense against Stanford, but obviously that's a completely different challenge from facing this Duck offense again, you know, in Eugene. Oregon to me, you know, definitely has an argument for being number one in the country. Again, going back to that performance against Washington a couple of weeks ago, to me that was the best single game performance by any team in the country this season, with the possible exception of Florida State at Clemson. But that game really wasn't even a 21-point game. Oregon outgained the Huskies by like 300 yards in that game. You know, they didn't necessarily blow out Washington State the way some of us expected last week, but that's because it was Washington State. You know, I think Oregon knows that this UCLA game is a big one. They're going to be focused, and they get DeAnthony Thomas back. I think they are going to roll. I think this is a 30-plus point game.
I found the stat from Feldman that I mentioned. It is 4 true freshmen, 1 redshirt freshman, and 3 sophomores are starting for UCLA against Oregon on the road. That's, yeah.
And
that's
trouble. And Dat might be back.
Yeah, Dat might be back.
Lawrence, Kansas, really becoming a spot of intrigue, as we already mentioned Texas Tech's road game there. We mentioned Oklahoma's road game there. And now we'll get another. Could you make an obscure statement and have it be true that Lawrence, Kansas could be the measuring stick of the Big 12?
Sure.
All right. So anyway, we're talking,
are made in Lawrence, Kansas.
We're talking about the Baylor Bears, who won 71-7 against Iowa State. Really, really, as Jerry has noted several times and throughout these picks podcasts, Baylor at home, just really, really unbelievable. James Sims, Kansas running back. To me, this is their only hope, is to play some of the same scheme and ball control ideas that Kansas State was able to use to at least maybe limit Baylor, and that's really the only thing that I could see leading to a Kansas cover for 35.5. Jerry, you along with everybody else other than Tom and myself are taking Baylor to cover that number. Do you think it's close, or do you think that this is going to be another 60-70 point game?
I think this is going to be another 60-70 point game. The Bears are on the road, where they did struggle the one time they've gone on the road this season to Kansas State. But that was Bill Snyder. And, you know, Charlie Weiss, I don't think he's quite Bill Snyder, or at least we haven't seen evidence to this notion that maybe he could coach Kansas to be as well prepared as Bill Snyder was a couple of weeks ago. I think this is another list in these, you know, Baylor just, you know, curb stompings. I don't think Kansas's defense is going to be able to do anything against that Baylor offense. To me, this game just basically comes down to how many points does Baylor want to score and how hard is their defense really going to play? You know, 35.5 is a big number. There might be some backdoor opportunities there for Kansas. But, you know, again, I go back to that Texas Tech game where the Red Raiders basically spotted Kansas, I think, a 10-0 lead and then scored 54 consecutive points. And that Red Raider offense is not in the same class as this Baylor offense, I think, by any stretch of the imagination. I think Baylor hangs up 65 or 70, and I think they cover this you know, with relative ease.
Tom, you and I are the only ones taking Kansas. Give me what you got.
We're going to be right, Chip. Don't you worry.
Thank you.
There's some facts, all right? In the last 3 years, Kansas...
You're so excited about these facts. I can't wait.
These are facts, all right? These aren't opinions. These aren't myths. These are proven and documented facts. In the last 3 years, Kansas is 7-4 as a home underdog. And you're thinking to yourself, 7-4 isn't really all that impressive, but this is Kansas. And three games over 500 is basically three straight national titles for Alabama. That's how hard that would be for the Jayhawks in comparison. Another fact is, in those same 3 years, Baylor, as a road favorite, is 0-4 against the spread in that same span. So when I see those numbers, I see 11-4 Kansas. I see Kansas losing this game 70-36.
Ooh.
Wow.
Facts.
All right, gents. I've been really, really looking forward to this because Nick Johnson in Madison, Wisconsin was very, very sad and disappointed that locks and quarantines got cut because of our busy slate the last 2 weeks. So you know what, Nick, for you and all the other people who have reached out, and remember, you know, if you want to get talk to any of us, you can hit at IonCFB, at Tom Fornelli, at Jerry Hennen, at Chip_Patterson. You know, just tell us what you want. This is we love fan feedback unless we disagree with it. So
I will block you.
This will be.
Just kidding, folks. He won't block you.
We're going to get this.
Like, you know,
unless you
say something really bad.
Yeah. We're going to get locks and quarantine started.
If you don't agree with me, I will block you.
With a special ACC edition. So I'm going to give you all four of the top 25 ACC games, and you give me from that group of four your one lock and your one quarantine. The one game you feel the most confident about, and the one game that you would not even want to touch. Then we'll open it up into other top 25 games, non-top 25 games, and then of course the quarantines. Just games that if we were giving you advice and you were friends of ours, we would just say don't even touch it. But of course we'll talk about it. All right, here are the ACC games. Wake Forest goes to face number 7 Miami. Big moment for Miami, obviously, this week, learning there will not be a bowl ban for the 2013 season. They are bowl eligible, and they will be competing for an ACC title. They are 21.5-point favorites. Number 9, Clemson, after getting stomped at home by Florida State, goes to face Maryland, who is a they follow a beep wagon out onto the field, and I hope nobody else gets hurt. Maryland, 13.5-point underdog at home. Duke going to Blacksburg for number 16, Virginia Tech. The Hokies were off last week. Duke got a very, very big win for them. Now 5-2 after beating UVA. Let's see if the Blue Devils can make it back to consecutive bowl games for the first time in program history. And then NC State traveling down to Tallahassee to face number 3, FSU. The Seminoles, 29.5-point favorites the way that we picked it. Bobby Bowden out at midfield, planting the spear, going to be quite festive, but possibility for a letdown after that that big Clemson game. Starting with you, Tom, give me your ACC lock and your ACC quarantine.
My ACC lock of the week would be Clemson, without a question. I don't care that they got steamrolled by Florida State last week. This is a Turtles team that is merely a shell of itself at this point. Did you guys
nice.
Get it?
Ah, nice. Yeah. I do get it.
Because they're turtles. So yes. I think that Clemson will bounce back. Maryland, everybody on this team is hurt. I mean, we talk about Georgia and Florida having injuries. It's like, I think Maryland is setting the bar right now for people getting hurt on that team. I think there's 11 starters missing due to injuries. And as we saw against Florida State, that maybe Maryland wasn't quite as good as the start it had to the season anyway. So I feel like Clemson is going to be mad, and it's facing a team that's hurt, and it will steamroll the Terps in this game. As far as the games I'm staying away from are concerned, I'm leaning towards Virginia Tech and Duke. I took Virginia Tech against the spread, but I don't ever really like trusting Virginia Tech for anything at this point, although that defense is fantastic. I just don't know on offense if this team is really, you know, I don't trust a 2-touchdown spread with a Virginia Tech offense that can be as bad as Virginia Tech's offense certainly can be.
Jerry?
I am absolutely with Tom. I'm flabbergasted by this Maryland line. I got to tell you, Clemson has made a big habit of covering ACC games, whether on the road or at home, over the past couple of years. And yes, things definitely got away from them last week. But week in and week out, you look at what Maryland's done in recent weeks. They got annihilated by Florida State, really got an extremely fortunate home win, I think, against Virginia, where the Wahoos sort of threw away some opportunities to cash in and win that game. And then last week, they lost to Wake Forest by 24 points. Like, if you lose to Wake Forest by 24 points, why are you capable, after two huge injuries to your wide receivers, are you then capable of staying within 2 touchdowns of Clemson? I am baffled. I really expected this line to be up around 3 TDs, and I'm quite happy picking Clemson minus 14 or minus the 13.5. As for my quarantine, I don't think I would touch North Carolina State and Florida State. The Noles have been very, very good at home. They've been pretty darn good in general this season. And NC State, I don't think, is a great team. At the same time, I am expecting a little bit of a letdown, and 29.5 points is large enough that I picked NC State to cover, but I don't have a lot of faith in that.
Moving on to our other top 25 locks. If it's a game that we have already covered, then just feel free to drive home your point as to why it is your lock. And if it is a top 25 game we haven't covered, feel free to expound on it. Back to you, Jerry.
You know, I feel like I'm missing something with this, but again, Fresno State at San Diego State. We picked it at 9.5 points, which, you know, Fresno's been a little bit erratic this season. You know, they started off the season needing overtime to get by Rutgers at home, and there's been a couple of other sort of performances in there. But still, San Diego State has not been a particularly good team, aside from sort of their put a scare into Oregon State. But aside from that, you know, they got blown out by Ohio State. Again, you know, it's on the road. They've been in dogfights with some much weaker teams in the Mountain West. They needed a late comeback to beat New Mexico State. You know, Fresno won this game last season with ease. I think it was 21 points. You know, even it being on the road in San Diego, I like the Bulldogs to win by more than 10 points, put it that way.
Yeah, I'm with you, too. I didn't get that one. That one scares me, especially
We all picked Fresno State, which should tell me, like, okay, this line, something is weird with it, and we should probably actually stay away. But, you know, I don't know. I don't get it.
And San Diego State, they're just as quirky with their defense with Rocky Long as that 33-5, but I just don't think they've got the players there, and they haven't been that great. Tom, locks.
Well, my lock, you know, super lock, put it, the government uses lock, which is still Clemson, but if you're just using some combination locks, I agree with Jerry on the Fresno State. And then I know you two are picking FAU, but I feel really comfortable about Auburn against the Owls just because in their two games against FBS competition this year, or BCS opponents, I'm sorry, FAU is allowing over 6 yards a carry in its run defense. And if we all saw last weekend, if there's something you don't want to be bad at when you're facing Auburn, it's being bad at stopping the run because the Tigers can run the ball very well. And I just feel that an FAU defense that can't stop the run and an FAU offense that is only averaging 22 points a game this year is going to get blown out by Auburn. I'm not even scared of the letdown.
All right, Tom, quarantine time. What are you absolutely terrified of? Lines that you hate, games that you would never in a million years imagine going to Vegas with Brent Musburger to bet.
We already mentioned the Oklahoma-Texas Tech game, and for all the reasons there, I would stay away from that just because we don't know what to expect from Texas Tech against a team that Oklahoma's caliber. But the problem is we don't know what Oklahoma's caliber really is either. So I'm staying away from that. The other game I've decided I would stay away from would be Northern Illinois as a 30.5 point favorite over Eastern Michigan. Eastern Michigan is a terrible football team. That doesn't, you know, I know Northern Illinois is going to win this game, but Northern Illinois is not blowing anybody out this year, and it's hardly covering the spread. Last week it covered against a bad Central Michigan team, but it did that with a touchdown in the final minute to cover the spread. And I just don't see it happening, although I still think this is a team that Northern should blow out, so I'm just staying away from it altogether.
Jerry, before you give me your quarantine, feel free to stand up for Eastern Michigan as the only expert who took them to cover the spread. And Tom, I fought the same battle. I was like, I don't know. But so tell me, what do you like about Emu?
Well, it's not really that I like anything about Eastern Michigan. It's that Northern Illinois has just really not blown anybody out that they feel like they have to make an effort against, whether it's Idaho, whether it's Eastern Illinois, whether it's Akron. You know, these kinds of teams, Northern Illinois has just not taken seriously. You know, we saw last week, you know, when Jordan Lynch runs for 316 yards, you know, because they were on the road, and I think they felt a little bit threatened after Central Michigan's big win the week before, you know, they put some effort in and they covered. But when they haven't felt like putting that effort in, and I mean, I don't necessarily want to disparage. I know I just said effort. I don't want to necessarily disparage, you know, saying they're not trying, but I just don't think they're as focused for these teams after, you know, they've won a huge number of MAC games in a row. They've won a huge number of home games in a row. I just don't think they have the focus for some of the lesser teams on their schedule that they've had in the past. And, you know, I don't think this is going to necessarily be a close game, but I think EMU can keep it within 30.
And what's your quarantine?
Right. Well, again, Texas Tech and Oklahoma. You know, to me, that is one of those games that just I hated myself for picking Texas Tech, but I would hate myself even more for picking Oklahoma. I just don't think there's a right answer there.
There is a right answer. It's going to be Texas Tech to win, just straight up.
There you go.
They are Jerry Hinnon and Tom Fornelli. You can check out all the CBSSports.com expert picks on CBSSports.com. Just go to picks. It's right there on the upper toolbar, and I'm sure we'll have it all over the homepage. Make sure if you are listening to this and you have not subscribed to the CBSSports.com college football podcast, then make sure you go and do that on iTunes because you get those episodes before they're posted on the site, and that advantage may be just what you need, particularly with these expert picks. For Tom Fornelli and Jerry Hinnon, I'm Chip Patterson. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be right back.